The 538th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, MLB, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code MMASGPN to get a 100% deposit match.
Hi, yo, John Marinos. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 538. It's going out to one of our new friends in the Discord, Zeebo. I assume it's Zach Randolph from, because Zeebo seems like a degenerate type of guy that would be gambling. So this goes out to you, Zeebo. You were a good rebounder and scorer. Thank you for coming to the show. This is our second part of the UFC Fight Night, Allen versus Curtis 2. This is part 2 of part 2. We'll be covering the main card fights, and then we'll have our locks, dogs, props, parlays, all that fun stuff. I'm on your host, Jeff Chalks Fox. My voice still a little sketchy sounding. So sorry, no singing again today, at least for me. Let's bring in my co-host, and then we can chit chat because people love the chit chat. It's Daniel Gumby Vreeland. What do you want to talk about, Gumby?
Your voice is substantially better than mine was that time. Did a whole bunch of podcasting with no voice. I even went on VSiN with no voice. That was all because Adam Duvall hit a walk-off home run at a game I was at, and I yelled.
Oh, really? That's what did it?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say I sound much better than yesterday, when yesterday was like 5 minutes ago. Yeah. Fantastic.
Little peel behind the curtains there for those of you who aren't currently following us on YouTube, which, by the way, you can just subscribe that button right there. By the way, this is the first time I can say this when I was looking back at the stats. Our last few episodes were watched more by subscribers than not subscribers.
We were up
to about 53% of views by subscribers and 47 not. But the 47% of you who aren't, what's your problem? Hit that subscribe button for us. You can even turn off notifications. We don't care. We just want your number. You're just a number to us. Really do appreciate the hell out of the number. So thank you guys who have subscribed and continue to help tell our bosses that we do an adequate enough job.
Yeah, like people actually watch and listen to this degenerate sport that these guys are talking about. So yeah, there you go. Thank you for doing that. One sport that's not degenerate is MLB, and they actually probably they respect their listeners more than just numbers. Like I said, all we care about is your number, but MLB, they care about you. Malcolm, Munoff, who else on there? Dylan, Lante, Scott. Did I forget anyone that's on there still?
I don't know. They've got 100 different hosts, but yes. I'm a Mal guy. When I listen to the MLB gambling podcast, it's to listen to a British guy podcasting from his bathroom and telling us about all kinds of stats that you would not imagine he knows. And he's one of the best in terms of just like true gut feel in a game. Yes. He's like, I don't know. This feels like a trap. And then immediately it's a trap. So props to Mal.
Yes, a latecomer to baseball, but he jumped in with both feet for sure. He knows his stuff. So don't let the accent fool you. Don't stereotype people. Don't judge books by the cover, because he's way smarter than that other host that they have, the guy from Texas, that Munoff guy. Come on. Anyhow, they're both wonderful. Great show. Very interesting and entertaining. So make sure you subscribe, listen. They're on YouTube, of course. They're on all your podcast catchers, MLB Gambling Podcast. All right, we talked about other sports. Sorry, now we're gonna talk about MMA, because everyone is dying to hear about a UFC Apex event, right, Gumby?
I think it's a good one.
You think this main card's a good one, or overall you think? No, you don't think it's a good one. You already told me it's not.
I told you yesterday there are fights on here where I'm excited to see what happens next. You know, like I want to see what happens to Yan Matsumoto. I want to see if he's the real deal. I want to see if Cesar Almeida's contender series fight was a fluke. I want to see if Jermaine Durandamy can come back from having a kid. I want to see Walter Walker finally debut, because I've been hearing about Johnny Walker's brother for like 100 years, and I'm not convinced they're actually related, because they don't look like they are. And so, yeah, those are things I want to see.
Do any of us ever come back from having a kid fully? No.
No, not really. I didn't even give birth. And I didn't come back from it. So.
And you've decided since last episode is Yan for sure. Yan Matsumoto. Or are you just?
Nope. I just say things with confidence.
That's the key. That is the key in life. Just act confident and you can get away with anything. So, all right. This is the second half. Like I said, so this is the main card, 7 PM start time this Saturday, ESPN Plus. At the UFC Apex, if you want to hear about the prelims, actually some interesting prelim fights. Don't think just because it's Apex card and it's prelims, it's not good, because there actually is some interesting stuff there. Make sure you go back in episode and listen to that. All right, we're kicking things off with an interesting fight, to say the least. Lightweights, Trevor Peak versus Charlie Campbell. This should be a good one. Perhaps fight of the night contender here. Trevor Peak, we'll tell you about first. He's 8-1 with 8 knockouts. All of them have come via standing hammer fists, more than likely, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. At least contributed to the 8 knockouts. He's never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in the UFC, won his last fight, 1-0 contender series. He's fight at welterweight. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, and get sticky while you're there. What else? He's outstruck his UFC opponents by and contender series opponent by 0.72 strikes per minute. Better grappling stats than Campbell, plus 170. The cannibal, Charlie Campbell. Wonder if he likes eating hammer fists. He's 8-2 with 6 knockouts. He's been knocked out once, 1-0 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight and 7 of 8. His 5 straight wins have come via finish. 0-1 in contender series, 2-0 in Bellator. Used to fight at featherweight, 2-0 as a pro grappler. 3 inches height, 2 inches of reach. Over Peak, twice more active than Peak, landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC and contender series opponents by 5.61 strikes per minute, minus 185. This is one of the ones I did some tape study on Charlie Campbell. Like, can I really pick against Trevor Peak? This Charlie Campbell guy. Let's see if I can find any flaws. But yeah, I have to go with Campbell. Just the power, the speed, technical striking. Obviously, anyone's going to be more technical than Trevor Peak in the striking department. Campbell backs it up with the speed and the power. He turns people's lights out. So I like this kid. I also like Trevor Peak, but I'm going with Campbell in this fight.
I'm going to go with Campbell too, but I'm going to give you this piece here on if you're looking for a path to victory for Trevor Peak out there, and I'm sure some of you are. I think the big thing that is sort of dwelling in my mind on Charlie Campbell and worries me a little bit in this fight is what he did against Chris Duncan on the Contender Series, right? Because he tagged Chris Duncan hard. He chased after the finish kind of recklessly, and he ate a counter and went to sleep. And first of all, that worries me because he went to sleep on kind of a big shot. And it's not like Trevor Peak doesn't take big shots. And then two, you know, like the recklessness is something you don't want to do against Trevor Peak. You want to stay technical, like you mentioned. Now, his follow-up fight from that, he seems to have dialed it in, right? Like it seemed like he was like, I can't make that mistake twice. I have to be my technical self, because that's where he's his best, to your point. It's like when he decides to not get into a brawl or not get into a crazy fight, it's of course just hard to imagine anybody fighting Trevor Peak like that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like how do you fight Trevor Peak and not brawl? Like how does that work? Unless you slow him down against the cage, which I think Campbell could do too. I think he's sort of got to take a page out of Chepe Mariscal's book, because, you know, Chepe got after him and put a more technical striking approach. And anytime there was a brawl, he kind of circled away. He got his piece in there and he circled away. Like, I think Campbell has to go at it like that. And I think you're going to see like a cautious version of Campbell, which is why I'm going to pick him. But for those of you out there thinking, hey, could Trevor Peak suck him into a brawl similar to the way that Chris Duncan, you know, snuck in a big sloppy exchange at the end of that fight, I think you're right for asking that question, if nothing else.
Yeah, no, it's a tough one to pick, but yeah. I like what I've seen from Campbell, so let's go with it. But it's not like we're not gonna be heartbroken if Trevor Peak gets a stand.
No, he's a fun guy. Yeah, he's a fun guy.
Exactly. All right, we're going way up. Two heavyweights, Lucas Brezski versus Walter Walker. I wouldn't say they're chunky guys, but they're, you know,
they could probably drop a few. Walker's he's pretty chunky.
And the other one's loose chunky, correct?
Yeah. I'll give you loose chunky on Breschke.
Of course, this has to be in the main card because, of course, Lucas the Bull Breschke, 8-4-1, 5 knockouts, 2 submissions, knocked out twice, 0-3 in the UFC. 0-3 with 1 no contest over his last 4. He got the no contest on the contender series, originally a win, and then he failed a drug test for real drugs. You would not guess that. Looking at him, maybe he's off them now. Maybe that's why. Lost via TKO his last fight. Has not won since May of 2020, plus 275. Walter Walker, the clean monster. So he's not popping any drug tests, right? The clean monster. I
can't
monster.
Imagine looking like that.
The clean monster is the nickname. Yes, he's Johnny Walkie's brother. Johnny Walker's younger brother.
I think he's younger.
They don't look
believe they're the same. Yeah.
They look they kind of same. He kind of has Johnny mannerisms in the cage, I think.
Maybe. I don't know.
Man. He doesn't fight like him, but
no, he doesn't fight like him at all.
The mannerisms kind of tip me off, maybe. But anyhow, okay. I also knew he was his brother, so who's to say? The clean monster is 11-0, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. This is his UFC debut. 4 straight wins have come via finish. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get sticky. SportsGamePodcast.com/store. Used to fight at welterweight, 5 years younger than Breschke, 2 inches taller, 3 inches reach, minus 270. I did a tape study here again, Gumby, but we'll let you go first.
I'm proud of you. I'm going to go with Walter Walker because to your point, he doesn't fight a damn thing like his brother. This dude wants a takedown and a ground and pound finish more than anything in the whole world. And I'll say this, the way he ducks in for takedowns for a heavyweight, above average, you know, I think he shoots a better takedown than probably 90% of heavyweights, if we're being honest. Because most of them don't have the slightest clue. You know, the fundamentals are there. His top control is not bad. And he's punishing on top, which I really like about him, right? Like, he's never satisfied in a position unless he can drop 3 or 4 hammer fists in those positions. So, like, I like Walter Walker's top game there. And obviously, the big piece with Breschke is he's a lighter heavyweight, right? Like, he's not a big 265 kind of guy. And in his, was it last fight or 2 fights ago when he fought Carl Williams? I mean, Carl Williams just took him down at will. Carl Williams took him down 100 times anytime he wanted to. I think Walter Walker is probably going to take him down and have an easier time of holding him there, which is ultimately what's going to win him this fight. Because I think he can TKO him. I think there's sort of a – I was going to throw this in a parlay at the end or something like that. There's sort of a sneaky prop in there for Walter Walker. And I know he gets, like, a lot of TKOs by ground and pound. But occasionally, if you watch his game – he'll get the back and he'll look like, oh, maybe I'll put a rear naked choke in there. And then he just drops a couple more bombs. But, like, he's going to have Breschke down all the time. I think he's going to tire Breschke out. And his sub prop is plus 650. I'm not going to use it as any of my fun props at the end. But just, like, let me throw this into the world and manifest it for those of you sickos who are looking for something like that. Because Walter Walker by submission is not the craziest outcome.
No, of course not. I'm going to go on record saying, Walter Walker, not very good.
Yeah. I agree. Like, oh, I agree with that.
Especially on the feet. Oh my God. He does nothing, which I guess he's made for the UFC heavyweight division. He's really good at
Carl Williams around. Did nothing on the feet against Lucas Breschke either.
Yeah. He does nothing on the feet. He just plods around, but he's a big guy who likes to grapple. So that's pretty much all you need to get by guys like Breschke. So Walker is the pick here. And I'm glad the number's gotten a little better. It was in the 350, I think, last time I checked.
345 when I looked this like a morning or two ago.
Yeah. But for the record, he's not good. Is what I'm hopefully he doesn't become champion now and I look like a fool. All right. Before we move on, let me tell you about I look like a fool already, but even more so. Let's tell you about Cut. What is Cut? You may ask. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet. Bet directly against your friends or other users in sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes. And they have tons of fun social features that give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable odds. Create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things so you never have to chase anyone down for money, which is great. That's the worst thing about doing fantasy sports. Special features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, fan groups, and more. And your rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends. Get on there, check out the custom stuff that we have put up, the SGPN crew have put up. And you can do that by downloading Cut today in the App Store or over at cut.com. That's K-U-T-T. and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. If you want more bonuses, Underdog Fantasy is a spot for you. It is also the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also, and it's also another, also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Every sport's on there, basically. MMA, you got it. UFC is on there. Pick higher or lower stat totals between 2 and 5 players. If you hit enough of the big ones or hit enough of them, you win 100 bucks, 100 times your money. Boom, more than 100 bucks. If 100 times your money in one night, simple as that. Sign up today with our promo code. Use our promo code, please. It makes us look good. We don't want the other shows to look better than us. MMA SGPN. That's the code you want. And get your first deposit doubled up to 100 bucks, as well as an instant pick'em special. If you want to know what to bet on, check out sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Gumby and I have articles every day about Underdog Fantasy, as do other writers. So get in on it there. Visit Plus. Here we go. You want an instant pick'em special? Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code MMASGPN, MMASGPN, to get your first deposit doubled up to 100 bucks, as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org. All right. We are moving down to lightweights, up the fight card. Ignacio Bahamondes from Chile versus Christos Giagos, United States of America. Giagos is the Spartan, 20-11, 8 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted 6 times, 6-7 in the UFC over 2 stints, 1-3 over his last 4. Got submitted in his last fight. He's got multiple championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, get sticky, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2010 Pro MMA debut. Better grappling stats than Bahamondes. He's barely outstruck his UFC opponents. He's at plus 0.03 strikes per minute in the positive there, plus 275. Bahamondes, La Hula. La Hula? The Hula. You remember what it means? Or is it Hola?
I don't.
The cage.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
14-5. 9 knockouts, 1 submission. He used to be, he was submitted twice before. Only times he's been stopped. 3-2 in the UFC, 3-1 over his last 4. However, again, he lost his last fight. He's missed weight twice at lightweight. Keep a eye on that. Used to fight at welterweight. 1-0 on contender series. 5 inches height, 4 inches reach, 7 years younger than Giagos. Better striking stats, twice more active landing strikes than Giagos. So he outstrikes his opponents plus 2.61 strikes per minute, minus 325. Bahamondes is the obvious pick for me here. Bigger, younger, more talented, better striker, obviously. All catnip to me. So Bahamondes is the pick.
Christos Giagos also just lost to the guy who I forget sometimes is an Ignacio Bahamondes. Daniel Zellhuber.
Yeah, like, it's true.
I sometimes forget they're not the same, like, young, very, very skinny striker. Because, I mean, that's what both of them are, right? They're, like, young, talented strikers who, like, kind of are like, will they defend the takedown? And then they both like kind of do and look really good doing it, right? Like, because Bahamondes pieced up Trey Ogden in that fight, and anytime he got taken down, he got right back up. And I actually think Trey Ogden is a touch better of a wrestler than Christos Giagos. Giagos, you know, like, his path to victory in just about every fight he's in is he's got to get this to the mat. Although he does have that weird knockout win recently, though, right? If I'm remembering correctly. But like Bahamondes is going to piece him up on the feet. He's going to stay on the outside. Bahamondes went toe to toe with John McDessie, who is like pretty much just a pure striker. And I really thought he got the best of that fight. McDessie got the decision there, but like, I kind of thought that was, should have been Bahamondes' decision. So like, he's one of those guys who just, you know, he works really well from range. And he's going to force Giagos to strike with him. Anytime Giagos gets him down, I think he's going to pop back up. And this should look like one-way traffic on the feet. So give me Bahamondes here.
All right. Bahamondes it is for both of us here. All right. Moving right along. Going down a weight class. Featherweights. Bergin, Cherrier, France, Shepe, Mariscal.
Mariscal.
What's his real name? Mariscal. It's not really Chepe. Jose. Yeah. But he goes by Chepe now. All right. 3 5-minute rounds. Featherweight. Mariscal. Machine gun. 15-6. 7 knockouts. 3 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times. He's taking this on short notice. 2-0 in the UFC. He's part of a 5-fight winning streak. Before that, he had lost 2 straight. He's turned things around. Has not lost since September 2020. He's fought at lightweight and welterweight. Was regional champion. 2014 Pro MMA debut, better grappling stats than Cherrier, and he's outstruck his opponents in the UFC by 0.72 strikes per minute, plus 120. Morgan Cherrier, the last pirate. 19-9-1, 11 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been submitted one time, so very durable over almost 30 fights now. 1-0 in the UFC, 4 straight wins, 4-2 over his last 6. He's not lost since October 2021. 3 straight wins have come via TKO. Was a Cage Warriors champion as well as regional champion. 2014 Pro MMA debut. Inch height over Mariscal, 3 years younger. Better striking stats and more active landing strikes. Excuse me. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 4.41 strikes per minute. That's one opponent, but still, it's impressive. Minus 115.
It was one opponent, and it was on short notice, up a weight class.
Yes.
Like, and it was Trevor Peak. He put that kind of a beat down on Trevor Peak. That's insane. I'm going Chepe here. I really do like this guy's makeup in terms of what he brings to a fight, right? Because he, like, the way he moves forward and just, like, unloads on his opponent, it's overwhelming. And Charrier's got, like, a touch of wrestling in there that he's kind of used, like, back when he was in Cage Warriors. But we also saw that fail against Jordan Vucenic or Paul Hughes, right? Like, both of the guys we've been talking about being, like, the top featherweights in Cage Warriors, both have wins over Morgan Charrier, right? And, like, for some reason, they're not in the UFC. And here at Morgan,
yes, it's strange.
I think it's because he's French, right? And they had that French event and stuck him in there on it. So I think that's probably why. But I will say this, like, his wrestling failed him against those two. Chepe is a black belt in judo. Like, he comes from a judo background. And in his last fight, he threw Jack Jenkins to the floor and he broke his arm. Now, granted, you could call that a fluke injury if you want or whatever, but, like, he still managed to throw Jack Jenkins, who is, like, kind of a hard guy to get a hold on. He held his own on the feet with Jenkins, who I rate Jack Jenkins' boxing really highly. Maybe not now that his elbow is dislocated, but, like, before that, he was a pretty good boxer. And Chepe was hanging with him for most of that first round and then got a hold of him in the second round. I think he's going to overwhelm Charrier, who might be maybe a little bit more technical of a striker at times, but I think the volume is going to be there for Mariscal. And I think if it winds up in the clinch, I think he's got advantages there too. So yeah, give me Chepe and some dog money here.
Yeah, I hear you, but I'm still not taking him. I'm taking Charrier. He does have solid takedown defense, although, like you said, the cream of the crop have taken him down in Cage Warriors. And I just like his striking way better than Mariscal's. And yes, I did watch tape on both these guys. But
you have to just keep reiterating that for the last two episodes. I watched.
Yes, because I never do.
Is this thing on?
I shouldn't say
I watch tape.
I shouldn't say never. I do if I don't have a good grasp on guys. So basically, Apex cards. It happens more often.
Yeah, this whole card, all the prelims and every main card fight except for the next two we're going to talk about.
The two fights that Gumby is not interested in, we're going to talk about. But yeah, these... this is a good fight, though.
It's going to be fun. This should be fight of the night if it's not Pete Campbell.
Yep, and very close line as well, rightfully so. So there you go. All right, going to co-main event. See, that's how you respectfully disagree with each other, right?
Yeah, you don't have to yell at each other.
Yeah, that's why we're never going to make it big, Gumby. Anyhow, co-main event. Alexander Hernandez versus Damon Jackson. Featherweights, 3 5-minute rounds. Damon, action. Jackson, 22-6-1 with 1 no contest, 4 knockouts, 15 submissions. He's been knocked out 4 times, submitted once, 5-4-1 with 1 no contest over 2 UFC stints. He has lost 2 straight fights after having a nice little run there, a late career run. He's dropped 2 straight. Was regional champion, 0-1 in PFL, 2-0 in Bellator. Whatever happened to Bellator? Is that still around?
I don't think so.
No? Okay, yeah. I thought, but, you know, writing was on the wall. Anyhow, 2012 Pro MMA debut, 2 inches of height over Hernandez. Better grappling stats, and he's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.44 strikes per minute, plus 170. The great ape, Alexander Hernandez. we've discussed this before. I don't think we're fans of this nickname, right?
No, because he was the great for a while,
yes.
Which is maybe a little bit played out with the first name Alexander, but, like, you know, it's classic. The great apes are wild.
he's got the evolution thing backwards. He's going back. He was the great, and now he's a great ape. He's 14-7, 6 knockouts, 2 submissions. And who's to say he's really great anymore? Anyhow, is this thing on? Did I say that out loud? Yeah, he's been knocked out 3 times, submitted once, 6-6 in the UFC. The record speaks for itself, I guess, right? 1-3 over his last 4. Did lose his last fight. Used to fight at lightweight. Was regional champion. 2012 Pro MMA debut. Inch reach, 4 years younger than Jackson. Better striking stats. More active landing strikes. He's been outstruck, however, in the UFC by 0.27 strikes per minute. Minus 200. Over to you.
It's my turn.
Yeah.
No, I went first with Chepe. You're just making me go first on all these.
I took. Oh, really? Okay. I will take. I will take the grade eight.
I didn't think you were going to do that. I thought you were going to take Jackson. Yeah, I was trying to make you pick Jackson in front of me.
No, I have to jump off the Jackson train. It was a fun little ride there for a while there. It was nice to see a balding guy win some fights, but
he's not balding anymore. Have you seen the picture?
Oh, no way.
No, he got hair plugs. Okay. Yeah, look at the picture I dropped in the Discord before. He looks like Ben Affleck's brother.
That was him. I couldn't figure out who it was.
Yeah,
that guy looks familiar. Oh, that's funny. Get in the Discord.
He looks like a third Affleck brother.
Yes, get in the Discord. At the very least, get in there so you can see pictures of handsome men, right?
That's what we're doing. Anyway.
I'm and Alexander Hernandez, better striker that hits kind of hard, hard enough. Almost half of his wins have come via knockout, so I don't think it's a good matchup for Jackson. Younger guy that hits hard and it's going to be a better striker than him, so I'll take Hernandez.
I also think this is the problem with Jackson here too, is if you've looked at anybody who's done a really good job of like taking it to Alexander Hernandez on the feet, and like maybe you think Damon Jackson can out grapple him, but I kind of think Hernandez is strong enough to just like shuck off these takedown attempts and do the technical things and stay up. He hasn't been particularly easy to take down in his career, but like if you look at the people who've given him trouble on his feet, it have been people who have been crafty and moved around a lot, right? Like Bill Algeo, weird as hell in terms of the angles he cuts and where he throws punches from, and his hands are way down and all that kind of stuff. Damon Jackson is the opposite of that. Damon Jackson walks straight at you in one direction. He throws a combination and his head doesn't move. And I think in a fight against Alexander Hernandez, those are just the types of strikes Alexander Hernandez is going to land and look good in. And Damon Jackson is just going to like present the target for him to hit. I like Damon Jackson. I hope his career especially takes off like his hairline has. But I think we're going to see Alexander Hernandez get the best of the hands here.
There's another good title for a podcast. Takes off like Gumby. You always come through.
I try.
What was the line? Oh, you hope his career takes off like his hairline has. The hairline airline has taken off. All right. Got it. All right. I just saw a story about Macy Barber. You would guess that she was on Top Turtle before all this stuff happened to her, being in the hospital at the edge of death. But no, Gumby has not interviewed her ever. Darn. But you did throw your support behind her right before this horrible thing happened to her. So just put that out there. Gumby does not want to talk about the fake curse that I've made up. Do you want to talk about the main event?
I don't want to talk about Macy Barber is the problem.
Yeah, that's true. You don't want to talk about the main event either, though. That's the thing.
Let's talk about it.
All right. I already know who you're picking, though. Anyhow.
Yeah, you know.
Brendan Allen versus Chris Curtis. Part two, the rematch we didn't know we needed. We're getting five-minute rounds, too. And it's middleweight, of course, because it's a UFC Apex fight card, naturally. All right. Curtis, the action man, Chris Curtis. If you want to know how he got that nickname, it has nothing to do with fighting. Gumby, find your archives are up there of the Top Turtle podcast. Find the episode that Chris Curtis was on. He will let you know how he got the nickname. He's 31-10 with one no contest, 17 knockouts, one submission, but knocked out once, submitted once. He's taking this fight on short notice. We know that doesn't spell a success as often as it spells defeat. He's 5-2 with one no contest in the UFC, 2-1 with one no contest over his last four. He did win his last fight. He's fight at light heavyweight and down at welterweight. 1-3 in the PFL, 1-0 in Contender Series. He was a Contender Series a long time ago, like 2018 or something, I think, right?
Yep.
It's crazy. Like, he's such a promotional favorite now. You're surprised they didn't pick him up.
Well, and there was all kinds of talk about him retiring after that, too. He said, if I won on Contender Series and I didn't get a contract, I'm going to retire. And he actually told a good story on my show a long time ago about, like, his son asked him, then, what are you going to do, Dad? And he's like, I don't know, I'll find something. And he was like, no, Dad, what are you going to do? And then he was like, oh, I guess I'm fighting again.
Yeah, I don't want a real job. No one wants a real job. Come on. I agree. All right. That's the action man. What else can I tell you about him? 2009 was his pro MMA debut. So he's been around a long time. It's good to see him get his crack in the UFC now. More active landing strikes than Allen. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.62 strikes per minute, but he's got the power, so he doesn't care. Plus 180. Brendan Allen, all in, is the nickname. A play on words. 23-5, 5 knockouts, 14 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, submitted once. 11-2 in the UFC. Won 6 straight fights and 8 of 9. 4 straight wins have come via submission. He's not lost since December 2021. He got TKO'd by Curtis there you go. In their first fight, that was back in 2020. Does that sound right or not?
Sounds right.
Okay, there you go. Maybe 2021. Who's to say? Yeah, I think it was his last loss, which would have been 2021. Anyhow, regardless, he got beat. Just like Curtis, he's fought down a weight class and up a weight class, light heavyweight, and what's right. One known contender series, LFA champion, regional champion, 4 inches of height over Curtis, 8 years younger, better grappling stats. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.27 strikes per minute, minus 200. You just did this so you could get the first word in the main event. This was a trick. Go ahead.
No, are you taking Chris Curtis too? You can go first.
No, I'm not taking Chris Curtis.
I knew you weren't, but like, no. I'm going to take Chris Curtis. I think, you know, well, sometimes I think you were going to take him because you say you always like the guy who won the first fight in the rematch. And now, granted, I'm going to side with you in that there's obviously some differences here, right? Like the short notice nature of it, the fact that Brendan Allen is on a much different trajectory. But I'm going to say that while Chris Curtis has been on kind of this weird trajectory where he like loses close decision fights or no longer puts his foot on the gas, I actually think that plays better against this version of Brendan Allen than his old style. Like, I think if he pushed forward and threw haymakers like he did the first time he fought Brendan Allen, where he knocked him out, I think he'd lose this fight now. I think Brendan Allen would counter that and duck under and get the takedowns and wind up beating him. But now Chris Curtis is like, he's like Sean Strickland Jr. It's like a version of Sean Strickland's fighting style that's like only a touch more entertaining than Sean Strickland's. He point fights from the outside. He's very cautious not to get taken down. He's got a little bit more power than Sean Strickland, which is why I say it's like a slightly more fun version of Sean Strickland. But the fact of the matter is he just does a lot of technical striking that keeps him safe, particularly when he's worried about being taken down. Like, look at the Rodolfo Vieira fight. Was that fight fun to watch? No, it was terrible. It was really, truly awful to watch. But that striking from the outside made it that Rodolfo Vieira never saw the opening to get in there. And so, like, you then have to ask yourself, does Brendan Allen have, like, the pressure and how sharp of striking he needs to beat Chris Curtis on the feet if he can't get those takedowns? And I don't think the answer is yes. I think Chris Curtis is a little bit smarter in terms of what he's going to do. I don't think he's going to sell out. I also think you probably find him with more cardio if this does hit the third, fourth, and fifth rounds because he doesn't use a lot of energy anymore. And I think Brendan Allen's going to spend a lot of time chasing him.
All good points, but I'm still taking Brendan Allen. they seem to be headed in different directions. You know, Allen, obviously, momentum is on his side, as is not the short notice, as is youth and all that stuff. But obviously, Curtis has a knockout power in the hand, so it's going to be a concern. I don't think in the real world I will be putting any money on Allen at minus 200, though. But he is
that's a big line for him too.
All right, recap, but don't go away. We got more plays for you. I have Allen. He has Curtis. I have Hernandez. He has Jax. No, you have Hernandez too. Sorry.
We both have Hernandez. Although I'm rooting for his hairline.
Yes, exactly. I have the Pirate, Charrier. He has Mariscal. Bahamondes, we both have. I didn't put your name down for a bunch of these, Gumby. We both have Walker, the clean monster. We both have Campbell, the cannibal. All right. Locks, dogs, props, parlays. Whose turn is to kick it off? Do you remember?
I hit my prop last week, so I can kick it off if you want.
Okay.
I had a plus 250 Nursultan Rozaboyev by KO. Thank you to the New Jersey Athletic Commission for not calling that an eye poke and turning it into a decision. Yep. It was much appreciated. Lock. I had a really tough time with locks here because most of the ones who I like are either like big numbers or I feel not confident in at all. So I'm going to take a slightly larger number than I usually do. I'm going to go Ignacio Bahamondes, negative 245. I know we usually try to give you locks that are like a little bit nicer to look at. But man, a lot of these lower numbers I feel really unsure about. So I'm going to stick with one that I feel a little bit better on in Bahamondes.
I have him at minus 325. Do you see him better than that? Or is that what you said?
I thought you said 245.
No, 325. Yeah. Is there a better line now you see somewhere?
No, because I don't. I mean, maybe
it's actually gotten worse. It's 335 now, but I quoted you 325.
Yeah, I'll stay with him. There's another one I like, but like I'll take the big fat line. I don't care if I look like a coward this week. There aren't a lot of lines I like on favorites in this. This is a good dog card for me.
I should be a coward more often with my picks. Maybe I hit more with my locks. I'll take Pierre Rodriguez -130. Gumby does not agree. Listen to yesterday's show, and you will see that. All right.
What number did you have on her?
-130 for her.
Okay.
More adventurous.
I'm gonna go for my underdog. I'm gonna go Cesar Almeida. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna say +135 against Dylan Budka. I like his ability to stuff the takedown and drop bombs.
I'm agreeing with that one. I know it's boring, but I am agreeing. All right, your prop.
My prop, I'm gonna go with a big one because I didn't give you a big one on the lock, so I'm gonna take a big massive swing here. I'm gonna take Charlie Campbell in his fight, and I know we talked about him being deadly with the hands and being really powerful. I also don't know that Trevor Peak can be knocked out. So at first I was looking at the total over 1.5 rounds on that fight is +120 to make it halfway through the fight, which is already really enticing. But then I was like, oh, I owe the people something for taking a big whopping favorite. So then I was like, what if Campbell just like beats the ever living hell out of him and this goes to a decision, right? He does I said he was going to do the Chepe Mariscal, and that's what Chepe did, right? He beat the tar out of him and then still wound up with a decision. Campbell on the points, +450. I think there's a good chance Charlie Campbell dominates this fight 30-26 across the board. And you can get him at the points at +450. I love that.
Wow. How can you not like a +450 pick if it hits? That is. All right. Bahamondes, Rodriguez, locks. Almeida is both of our dogs. A Campbell decision, Morono knockout are.
You didn't even announce that.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I said it. I agree with you. But yeah, Almeida was my. Oh, I didn't. You're right. Morono via knockout. Excuse me. I had it already written down and I didn't announce it. Alex Morono is going to knock out Court McGee, sadly.
We talked about it before we aired.
You did.
And you just like, oh, I already said that.
Hey, I'm tired and my voice is gone. +165 Alex Morono knockout. If you want to hear why we think that, yesterday's episode. Okay. Now we're going to do Hungry Man Jung Superfan Parlay, 2-fight parlay. What do you have for us this week?
Well, I'm going to start with the Morono knockout. It's part of what we talked about it before we aired. We can peel behind the curtain there. I think the chin is shot on Court McGee. I think Alex Morono hits really hard. +165 is a good parlay starter. And then I'm going to roll it in with our underdog of the week, Cesar Almeida. I think he's going to get the knockout too. Dylan Budka, pretty tough guy, but I think Almeida's striking and possibly just by tiring Budka out, I think is a real possibility too. What do you think the Almeida KO line is at? Because this one was kind of shocking to me.
That's how he's going to win, if he does win.
That's what I thought.
+400.
+400 on Almeida by KO. So I like Almeida and Morono both to get the KOs. You put those together, you're going to get 1357.
Fantastic. All right. That's it for the picks now. We're back Sunday. Probably do a recap, I think. I haven't checked the regional calendar for next week, but we'll be getting regional stuff to you as well. Don't you worry about that.
PFL 2 is on the next week.
Yes, of course. Gumby is gung-ho on the PFL. So PFL, yeah. PFL's tonight, Thursday night. What else do I need to tell you? Discord. We'll be in there watching PFL, I'm sure. SportsGamblePodcast.com/Discord. Where else? Twitter, SGPNMMA. Gumby Vreeland, Jeff Fox Writer are the handles. I'm Jeff Fox Writer on Instagram as well. Obviously, YouTube. Make sure you subscribe to the channel and watch our stuff if you would like to. It's really fun. Watch us. We're good guys. Gumby's got Top Turtle MMA podcast. Who's on it?
We're talking with Chepe Mariscal, who we talked about just a second ago, and Michael Dufort, who will be on PFL 2 this upcoming Thursday.
All right. So get in the Top Turtle and moneymma.substack.com. I think I forgot to mention that last episode. That is my Substack. Free subscription will get you into my weekly pick'em. So check that out. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. All right, Gumby, get us out of here.
I'm Dana Gumby Vreeland. He's the clean monster, Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.